It's hard to read the news these days without asking yourself, how did we get here? Fiasco is a history podcast from the co-creators of Slow Burn. In our first season, Bush v. Gore, we examine an unmistakable turning point in American politics, the 2000 election, which resulted in a high-stakes stalemate, ended with one of the most controversial rulings in Supreme Court history. So if you're trying to make sense of the present moment, check out Fiasco, Bush v. Gore. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show, reminding you tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. The entire show, we are going to be tackling your questions. Whatever you ask, whatever you email in to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let's finish up this Disney stuff in case you're just now joining us. Disney CEO came out, said they want to quiet the noise in the culture wars. And we're talking about how communists use your values against you. And one of the main things they love to do is when they get caught doing their terrible things, when they get caught trying to destroy everything you love, they freak out and make a bunch of noise and act like you're the one who's making the noise. And then they say, well, I just want things to calm down. That's exactly what you're seeing out of Disney. Disney announcing they want to quiet the noise in the culture wars is not Disney announcing they're going to start making family-friendly films once again, with normal nuclear families and good guys and bad guys and heroes and villains and, you know, normal things. You notice they didn't make that announcement at all. What they announced was they wanted to quiet the noise in the culture war, meaning what they announced was you need to shut up. You see, Disney is not tired of pushing endless rainbow filth on your child. Disney isn't at all exhausted by men dressed up as Disney princesses trying to sell you merchandise in the stores. Disney is not exhausted with their show after show after show talking about how evil and racist America and white people are. They're not tired of any of that. What they're tired of is you noticing. They're tired of you noticing. They're tired of you saying something. They're tired of you not going to the park. They're tired of you not going to the movies. They're sick and tired of you figuring out what they're doing. Why can't you just let them destroy every part of our culture in peace? And so they make these announcements that they want to quiet the noise in the culture war. But the announcements don't mean anything because they're not followed by anything meaningful at all. That's what these people do. All right. So this just came out a little bit ago. But, well, I guess it makes it breaking news.
It's Journalist Jesse.
There's just no one better.
We love Jesse. He's the best.
Jesse, please kiss my baby.
Jesse, 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 Jesse.
Let's have just a brief talk about election cheating. Ken Paxton is the Attorney General of the state of Texas. So if you're not in Texas, you don't know that. But people who are in Texas know that. He's very much one of us, good guy. Ken Paxton, Attorney General of Texas. They just tried to impeach the guy and remove him from office. He's now making the rounds, doing a sit down with Tucker Carlson and other people. And Ken Paxton really made some waves just an hour or two ago when Ken Paxton came out and said, hey, they stole the 2020 election or 2020 election with the ballots that came in overnight. And now everyone is screaming about that. What's he talking about? That's a conspiracy theory. It's ridiculous. What's of this? What's of that? And here's the thing about election cheating. You know my thoughts on it. I've explained them 1,000 times over. In case you're just new to the show, allow me to explain them briefly. My thoughts on election cheating are this. They happen all the time. Especially in blue areas, Democrats have been cheating in elections since Tammany Hall. In the 2020 election, they had more opportunity to cheat than they ever had before because of our insane COVID policies. We were mailing out ballots to everyone under the sun, And so, of course, they cheated more than they ever have before. That seems very obvious to me. I don't understand the people who swear that didn't happen, but whatever. Anyway, that's my stance on it. One thing that blows me away, though, because I don't care what your stance on cheating is, whether they cheated in the election, whether they didn't, whether it was rampant. I mean, they were printing new ballots and they hacked the voting machines, or whether you're one of these people that says, no, there was no cheating. Maybe a vote or two here, but it was all on the up and up. Wherever you fall in that is fine. But what I'll never understand is when people on the right will say things like Democrats don't cheat, or there was no cheating at all. Democrat Governor Kathy Hochul of New York City just signed a bill expanding voting by mail. Right after Joe Biden won the presidency, Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats tried to pass H.R. 1, which was essentially voting by mail for everyone all the time. If you're not cheating, why are you so interested in voting by mail? What exactly is the reasoning? Do keep in mind, civilized countries, modern countries around the world have banned any mail-in voting. It's not allowed, period. Countries like France, many others, you are not allowed to vote by mail. And they have it written down. You can go look it up. They say, no, that's ripe for cheating. So if you say Democrats don't cheat, they don't cheat in elections. Oh, that's a conspiracy theory. Then why do Democrats love mail-in voting so much and hate showing ID to vote? That's honestly, sometimes the willful naivete of people on our side floors me. Look, if you don't believe the election cheating was that bad in 2020, that's fine. That's a totally reasonable position because we're never going to get all the answers on everything. That's fine. I don't mind that. You take whatever position you want. If you say Democrats don't cheat and won't cheat and don't have plans to massively cheat, then I have to ask you to provide for me a detailed explanation why Democrats don't want you to have to show an ID and want you to be able to mail in a ballot from your home. Anybody? Anyone? Nothing, huh? There's only one reason you'd want those things. The only reason you would want everyone to be able to mail in a ballot and no one to be able to show ID is because you not only cheat, you intend to do a lot more of it. That's the only reason. There's not a second reason. The stated policy of Democrats is no ID and mail-in balloting. That tells you the stated policy of Democrats is cheating in elections. All right. I want to get to emails. I want to hit this really quickly first, though, just because it's a little bit ugly. And we're doing ugly, right? We're talking Democrats. So we're doing ugly right now. Remember, I played it for you a couple of times. Remember what Jerome Powell said about the soft landing?
I've always thought that the soft landing was a plausible outcome, that there was a path, really, to a soft landing. I've thought that, and I've said that since we lifted off. It's also possible that the path is narrowed and it's widened, apparently. This may be decided by factors that are outside our control.
Yeah, there's a part of global inflation that some people, I shouldn't say people aren't seeing coming, because people are bringing it up, but a lot of people aren't seeing it coming. You see, they're scared to death of inflation. They can't control it. They printed too much money, borrowed too much money during COVID. They cannot control it. It's running out of control, and they know it's nation-ending stuff if it gets out of control. And so they're trying to raise interest rates, but okay, we didn't raise them this time, but we're probably going to raise them next time. That's what they just did. There's another factor in it that's going to be caused by the communists, and it's coming. The price of oil. Remember, the global price of oil is critical to the value of currency and to whether or not nations go into recessions. It just is. Energy is such a gigantic part of everyone's economy. You need energy prices to remain low. Well, the communists have been declaring war on the energy that works for quite some time. that war got massively ramped up since Joe Biden became president. Now I'm staring at an article that says global inflation fears as oil price rises towards $100 a barrel. You see, declaring war on oil and gas, it does much more than just starve a bunch of people to death. It's going to bankrupt us all as well. Economies, not just ours, across the globe are reliant on cheap energy. Wrap your mind around this little scenario that is very possible. In fact, some would say it's likely. Wrap your mind around winter coming and it being a bad one this year, and people needing more energy than they've ever needed to keep their homes warm at a time when energy is more expensive and less available than it has been in quite some time. Where does that take us? No place good. We'll put it to you that way. All right. We have to get to some emails. The FBI, tranny miners. We have to get to you, me, and needing that little nudge sometimes. When I'm going to make changes, I will take a long time to make them because I need a nudge. I need a push. I've been talking to you about the natural herbal supplements from Chalk for a long time now. I'm a huge fan. I'm a huge fan of the company, the people who work there. I'm a huge fan, more than anything, of the results the Male Vitality Stack has given me. Gosh, I'm so freaking full of energy anymore. I'm about bouncing off the walls. Female Vitality Stack for the ladies. But maybe you've been holding back. I'm not sure if I want to spend the money. Jesse, I'm not sure if I want to do it. Well, here, I've got something for you. And I need you to pay attention because there are some disclaimers here. How about 99% off the first month? Up to $70, you get 99% off the first month for a very limited time. You have to go to chalk.com, chok.com, and use the code Jesse99. 99% off. Go get some.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at JesseKellyDC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Did you know, Chris, did I ever tell you the story about the time we drove somebody from youth coaching forever when I was a kid? Did I tell you about that? Responsible for him quitting? Oh, okay. So you podcast listeners won't. Sorry, it's the Jesse Kelly Show. We're going to sidetrack here real quickly. The podcast listeners won't know that Chris just played Kiss's I Want to Rock and Roll All Night and Party Every Day. We were played that song coming back in. You know that I want to rock and roll all night. Man, my voice is so on point. And party every day. Look at how, man, my voice is so mellifluous or something. What do they call my voice, Chris? Malignant? I have such a malignant voice. Anyway, so that's the song he played coming back in. Here, I'll tell you a little quick story. Now, let's go back to Jesse being a little snot in high school. It's Jesse's sophomore year of high school, right? I've played basketball my entire life. My dad played basketball on a college scholarship. So he had football scholarship offers too. One of these superstar athlete types. Don't you hate people like that? And then, of course, he wanted me to be an athlete. And boy, was he disappointed. But I played, you know, baseball, basketball, forever. I played. I just wasn't any good. But I played forever. I could hold my own. I'll put it to you that way. I can hold my own. But I was lazy and I didn't love it. Didn't practice, didn't love it. So sophomore year comes along for basketball and they have what's called the A team, the good players, and they have the B team. Now they still have tryouts and a bunch of guys got cut, but I made the B team. I made the team. After you make the team, they decide who's going to be on the A team, who's going to be on the B team. And to add insult to injury, the B team, you don't even travel with the A team and play the games the A team plays or in the games. You don't even play the teams. They find these really low-end, tiny, crappy schools, and they throw you on some crappy school bus, and it's Montana. Everything's far away. You drive 2-3 hours on a Friday night, and you just go in some gym with 4 people in the stands. Even the other players' parents don't show up. You just show up, and you play basketball. But wait, it's actually worse than that. We sucked. Now, I don't know whether you've ever been part of a sports team that was great or one that was terrible, I've been part of both. And let me be clear, the great one, I was not like a major contributing factor. But again, I said I played basketball forever. All my friends were all basketball players. Well, most of them were basketball players. And I had a bunch of guys who were really, really good. I remember one summer league we played in. We just dominated everybody. We just crushed everyone by 30, 40 points. And I remember what that was like. I'm going somewhere with this. Just stay with me. I remember what it was like where, and this was a big time tournament. We just assumed, we knew we were going to win every game. That was a given. How many points would you score? How many would we win by? Are we going to do this? Are we, hey, should we run this play? I love that play. That's a fun play to watch. You would find yourself assuming you were going to win and then acting like you were going to win. And we kept winning. Well, the same thing, sadly, and this applies to all of us, not just sports. Momentum is a powerful thing, right? So when you're winning, you feel like you're going to keep winning. The same thing happens when you're losing. Our B team was terrible. And we would show up at these small gyms, driving in some crappy school bus all night, cold in the Montana. It's freezing. Basketball's a winter sport. And you just go and you just get pounded. And then you get back on the bus, and then you get demolished again the next week. Then you get back on the bus and get blown out again the next week, and it's really, really difficult. We were towards the end of our season, sophomore year. This is my last season. I quit. I refused to play after this year anymore. The high school coach was furious, but my sophomore year was my last year. I gave it up. It's a really stupid thing to do, I should note, but I gave it up. We're on our last road game of the season, and we're coming home. It was an hour and a half home, and we had just gotten blown out again. Only now that thing happened, and this happens. I can't speak for everybody, but I can tell you for dudes, you can go into a bad place in your life where you act like you're embracing and celebrating what's bad. Have you ever done this in your life? I bet you have. It's human nature, right? You're too fat. You make jokes about it all the time with your friends. You laugh about it. I love being fat. I wouldn't be skinny for the world. You know, you're out of work. You're stressed about it. You're tired of being broke. You're poor. But then what do? When you get with your boys, you brag to them about it. Man, I don't know about you. Sorry about your job. I was chilling all day. You're not really proud, but you find yourself bragging about something you're ashamed of. That's about where we were by the end of that basketball season. And that song, I Want to Rock and Roll All Night by Kiss, comes on the radio in the bus. And actually, forget about the radio. I think it was somebody's CD. I know it was someone's CD because of how the story goes. The bus had a CD player. Someone had a CD. Kids, we put music on those, and you used to play music off them. Anyway, someone had it on a CD, and we put in the song, and we just proceeded for an hour and a half to sing that song, the entire team, on repeat, over and over and over again, just laughing about how bad we sucked and pretending like we were having the time of our lives, getting blown out every single game. And this was towards the end of the season, almost the end of the season. Our coach sat in the front of the bus the whole time, quietly, as we were singing over and over again. He quit basketball after that. He quit coaching, period. No more youth sports coaching for him. So, future generations, I apologize. You did not get him as a basketball coach. It appears there were some annoying high school kids somewhere along the way who made him feel like the job wasn't quite worth it anymore. All right, back to the news. Before we get to the news, let's get to your dog. Let's get to health. You see, you don't eat fast food every meal, do you? Now, I eat fast food, but even I don't eat it every meal. I would love to. Don't get me wrong. I love that fast food double cheeseburger, fries, some seasoned curlies maybe, but I don't eat it every meal because there's no nutrition in it. It's all empty calories. I tell you about Rough Greens because you're giving your dog fast food every meal with his dog food. It's empty calories. It's dead food. There's no nutrition in it. It's dead. There is nutrition in Rough Greens. Rough Greens is alive. You pour it on your dog's food. One, your dog's going to love it. They live and die for it. Two, the difference you're going to see in your dog when you finally start giving your dog nutrition. And they're giving out a free bag to get you started. All you pay for is the shipping. And all you have to do is call them. 833-33 my dog. 833-33-MY-DOG. Or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
In the aftermath of a transformative election like the one we just had, it's hard to read the news without asking yourself every 5 seconds, how did we get here? That's exactly what we're always trying to figure out on Fiasco, a history podcast from the co-creators of Slow Burn. In our first season, Bush v. Gore, we examine an unmistakable turning point in American politics, the 2000 election, which came down to a recount in Florida and ended with one of the most controversial rulings in Supreme Court history. In many ways, it's the beginning of the story we're living through right now. So if you're trying to make sense of the present moment, check out Fiasco, Bush v. Gore, and find out how a statistical tie in the Florida vote count put the nation into an unprecedented holding pattern, during which American voters waited with bated breath to find out whether Al Gore or George W. Bush would be the next president of the United States. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Remember, get your Ask Dr. Jesse questions for tomorrow emailed in right now. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Fifth lawsuit filed in the U.S. against medical transition of minors. I'm not going to spend much time on this. It just, I don't want to say heartbreaking, but man, I don't know that there's another way to describe how many young people out there have been preyed upon by a very evil system. Evil, weak, pathetic parents, evil teachers, evil counselors, evil psychiatrists, evil doctors. How many young people are having their bodies physically mangled and mutilated now who are going to wake up very soon? It's not like it's taking these people long to come around. They're going to wake up very soon one day and realize they have been altered permanently and they don't want it. How horrible is that? I think about that story that Chloe Cole, she's one of the famous activists out there now, young lady, honestly, a really pretty young lady too. And I don't know why that makes the story more heartbreaking. You can tell, at least I can, looking at Chloe Cole, is a pretty girl and could be a really, really beautiful girl. Is that out of line, Christy? Michael, that's probably, yeah. And instead, as a young teenage girl manipulated by everybody in her life, and she gives this testimony where she talks about how she had her breasts removed and she had all these things done to her and how she'll never be able to nurse a child now and just how heartbroken she is. What an evil industry. What a remarkably evil industry. Speaking of evil, I'm going to play you something. This took place at the UN. This was that former PM of New Zealand, Jacinda Ardern is her name. Listen to this and just know this is how all the people who run the West think now.
As leaders, we're rightly concerned that even the most light touch approaches to disinformation could be misinterpreted as being hostile to the values of free speech that we value so highly. But while I cannot tell you today what the answer is to this challenge, I can say with complete certainty that we cannot ignore it. To do so poses an equal threat to the norms we all value. But we have an opportunity here to ensure that these particular weapons of war do not become an established part of warfare.
Weapons of war? The misinformation, the disinformation. You know what she's talking about. You know who she's talking about, right? You get that? That she's talking about you? And yes, Chris, I agree. The accent is hot, but that's not what we're talking about right now. We're talking about something else. She just described you and your freedoms. You saying whatever you want. What are you going to disagree about the vaccine? She just described you as a weapon of war.
As leaders, we're rightly concerned that even the most light-touch approaches to disinformation could be misinterpreted as being hostile to the values of free speech that we value so highly. But while I cannot tell you today what the answer is to this challenge, I can say with complete certainty that we cannot ignore it. To do so poses an equal threat to the norms we all value. But we have an opportunity here to ensure that these particular weapons of war do not become an established part of warfare.
Weapons of war. What do you mean I ruined it, Chris? I didn't ruin anything. That's exactly what she sounded like. You don't know how to speak New Zealand. I've been speaking New Zealand for quite some time. The weapons of war, mate. What, Chris? Gosh, you're so useless. Dear His Most Honorable Majesty Hamburger Hero, as this Gen Xer did in high school sports, and as you most likely did while serving our country, is it important that you Gen Z, Gen A sons learn how to shower communally with their classmates and other guys, or is it time for this practice of communal showering to end? Yeah, he said I can say his name. His name is Coach. See, these are the Ask Dr. Jesse questions that make Friday so great. I just chose to tackle this one today. What a great question, isn't it? Communal showering, kind of a bit weird,
why
right?
Why are you gay?
Why are all the dudes here in the shower naked together showering? Well, it's obvious why. Space reasons, time reasons, practice is over, PE class is over, hit the showers, you don't want to be a smelly Nelly, shower your body, go get dressed. What do we think about traditions like this? I actually have this theory on life, and I mean this all the way. I believe for men, I cannot speak for women, I won't speak for women here, but I believe for men, time spent, especially as a young man, around other dudes in a dude environment is more important than anything you learn in class in school. And that doesn't have to be sports, keep in mind. Not everyone's on the sports team. It can be sports. Yes, that's a great example. It can be friggin' band. Maybe you're on the chess team. Maybe you're into hunting, shooting, racing. If you're a young dude, do you spend time around other young dudes in an all-dude environment? Here's why I say it's valuable. As a dude, you have to learn how to work a room. You have to learn how to read other people, read other dudes, read situations. You have to learn how to overcome adversity. You have to learn how to compete with other dudes. You have to learn how to be a winner. You have to learn how to be a loser. You have to learn so many things. And I know you asked about communal showering. Maybe, just maybe, the complete and utter humiliation of getting all naked in front of other dudes and showering off that wears off really quickly when you get in that locker room environment, maybe that's a healthy thing. Granted, we didn't do a ton of that in the Marines just because it wasn't the Air Force, but there was some of it. And I still remember this one time we were up at, I remember it like it was yesterday. We were up at Summer Bridgeport. We were doing mountain warfare training, which was actually really cool. Really horrible in a lot of ways. Of course, the Marine Corps is going to make it miserable as possible, but really cool in a lot of ways. They teach you how to rock climb, and we're rappelling off of cliffs and all kinds of cool stuff like that. And of course, you do cool stuff like that, and then the Marines will just make you go get in the creek that's freezing just so your body can go numb and you'll be in pain. Anyway, we did this Summer Bridgeport, and I remember at one point in time we had to hit the showers. We just got done PT, and we had all these classes that day, all these survival classes and stuff. And one of my buddies, he thought it would be hilarious as a joke to freak everyone out. He stood at the entrance of the shower and slapped everyone's butt on the way inside. He almost got knocked out a couple times. He ended up being not very safe, and he had to leave that situation. But hey, maybe it's part of growing up. I don't know. I don't think it's necessary, but probably not something that's going away. Look, it is something to bring up, though, now. How horrible is it for these chicks in these chick sports? They have to shower with dudes because of the tranny dudes. Think about that. You know that swimmer chick, Riley Gaines, she was swimming for the University of Kentucky. You've seen her, that blonde. I've interviewed her on TV. Seems like a really wonderful person. That dime who was on the swim team. Think about a bunch of dimes on the swim team in college having to go into college. They have to shower too. And having to strip down and hit the showers in front of a dude with everything still attached to him. Golly, how crazy is that? Almost as crazy as an FBI agent fleeing the country. This is from the Daily Caller. Jim Jordan issues second subpoena to FBI agent who fled the country after the interview fell through. You know the FBI agent I've been telling you who needs to be in prison for decades? Elvis Chan. You know the name Elvis Chan. You listen to this show, you know who Elvis Chan is. Well, thankfully, the low-T GOP is finally figuring out this human being needs to go to prison. They subpoenaed him, and he bailed on the country. Gosh, but that doesn't show you what we're dealing with. All right. Maybe another email or two. Headlines I didn't get to before we leave. We need first to have a heart-to-heart conversation about my meat. I would like you to refer to me from now on as Mr. Meat, Mr. American Meat, All Meat. I don't know what you want to call me. All I know is now that I'm a customer of Good Ranchers, I feel like my meat is superior to other people's meat because my meat's all American sourced. Good Ranchers meat's all American sourced. It's sourced from a company that shares our values. And it's delivered to my front door. Are you still having to go to the grocery store to buy your meat, peasant? What must that be like? I have Good Ranchers. And you too can have Good Ranchers with 2 years worth of free ground beef with it. Did you hear what I just said? 2 years worth of free ground beef. All you have to do is go to goodranchers.com and pick out one of their boxes, whichever box works for you. Pick out one of their meat boxes and you get 2 years worth of free ground beef. All American meat. And that's putting your money where your morals are with these people. GoodRanchers.com. Code Jesse is how you get the free meat. GoodRanchers.com. Code Jesse. Jesse's meat.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show. Just a reminder, kids, don't do drugs.
Biden, at the moment, looking extremely old and frail. Do you think we may see Donald Trump back in the White House?
Unfortunately, yes. I mean, every time he gets arrested, he's
that's Ozzy Osbourne sounding as sharp as ever. Also, don't forget about the frogs in the water.
You know that old story about the two frogs in the pots of water? Okay, so here you're a good storyteller. I'm going to tell you a quick story. So two frogs and two pots of water.
I love...
So
sorry.
In
sorry.
One pot...
Sorry, I got to pause it real quick. I love how Dome, when she feels like... I'm going to start it over. When she feels like she's got some money story or something really funny, she gets super giddy about it. Only it never delivers on it. And you know, you've had stories like that in the past. Maybe something funny happened to you, something terrible happened to you, something great happened to you, and you're dying to share it with friends or family, and you get really excited about it. That's what Dome gets like all the time with the lamest stories in the world. Listen to how excited she is. Oh, you tell stories now, I get to tell a banger.
You know that old story about the two frogs and the pots of water? Okay, so here you're a good storyteller. I'm going to tell you a quick story. So two frogs and two pots of water. So in one pot of water, you drop the frog in and you slowly turn up the heat. And that frog will be like, oh, it's getting a little warm in here. And then that water starts to boil and that frog perishes.
Yeah.
In the other pot of water, you turn up the heat to the point it's boiling. You drop the frog in it, it'll jump right out. Let's not be that first frog.
Boom. I think we all know she knows what she's talking about. All right. Well, one thing I didn't play for you was Cori Bush, that communist. You remember there were a bunch of Antifa communists down in Atlanta. They were shooting at cops. Keep in mind, who she's defending here, they're the people who were shooting at the cops. They tried to ambush a bunch of cops.
In constitutional gender equality for all. Finally, I cannot overstate how shocked I am by the targeting of protesters who oppose the construction of the Atlanta Public Safety Training Center, or Cop City, and I urge the department to investigate these obvious violations of civil rights.
Yeah. Anyway, two things really quickly. One, there's a story out of Colorado about a moose stomping and headbutting a woman and her dog. Don't worry, Chris, she lived. That's why I'm telling you the story. This story, that what I'm about to say doesn't apply to this story because the woman was just out walking her dog. This is just yet another story that I can use to once again inform the Disney generation that animals do not talk, they don't sing, they don't dance, they don't hug each other. They don't cry even. They don't cry. And then no tears are coming down their face. And I know they look big and fluffy and godly, but they're actually very, very dangerous. So please, please stay away from the wild animals. Please, I beg you, stay away from the wild animals. All right? Now, two things. I said there were two things. Second thing, we have to take care of Tunnel to Towers, because Tunnel to Towers is out there taking care of widows and orphans. And I think it's the most heartbreaking, horrible thing in the world that these guys get up, men, women get up every day and they strap it on and they go out in these jobs where they risk death every single day. And some of them, often, far too often now, they don't come home. And what's a wife to do? Kids to do? He's gone. He's not coming back. What do you do? Well, look, Tunnel to Towers can't bring him back. Can't bring her back. But what they can do is come alongside that family and help. Let them know they're not alone. Maybe pay off a mortgage for them so they don't have to worry about that. Maybe get them in a community of other people. You know, Tunnel to Towers building an entire community for Gold Star families, fallen first responder families, catastrophically injured veterans. That's what your $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers does. $11 a month. T2T.org. Care for widows and orphans. $11 a month, Tunnel to Towers. All right. Now, let's do an email before we get to headlines, because there's going to be a ton of them tomorrow. I can feel it. Remember, your Ask Dr. Jesse questions have to be emailed in now. Don't wait till tomorrow. Ask me anything. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Jesse, why is Texas always referenced as the quintessential red state? It's purple at best and may quite possibly go blue soon. How did Texas get and keep this false reputation? Well, I'll tell you how they got the reputation. One, Texas isn't going blue. That's something they've been warning about forever. Texas isn't going blue because the people moving here are mostly Republicans. We have the poll numbers on the people who move to the state. They move to the state and they vote red. Texas is actually getting redder, not bluer. That said, our Republicans are pathetic, wishy-washy, pathetic, and frankly, most of them vote like Democrats. That's why our power grid's failing in this state. So why, when we have all these squishy, weeny Republicans here, why is it thought of as red? Well, here's why. I have a story about that. Quick story. Jan Brewer used to be the governor of Arizona. No one remembers this, but she was the governor of Arizona. And as governor of Arizona, she was governor under Barack Obama. Well, I shouldn't say under. That's not right. But he was president while she was governor. Okay? Jan Brewer was not a very traditionally conservative governor. She wasn't some hardcore right-winger. She was all about tax increases and stuff like that during a recession. But Jan Brewer, two things went in her favor. One, Jan Brewer signed an anti-illegal immigration law, SB 1070, if I remember right. It was the most watered-down nothing bill, but she signed it into law. And then two, Barack Obama visited Arizona. And you might remember this. If not, I promise the picture's still on the internet. You can go look it up. Go look up Jan Brewer, Barack Obama, finger. No, we're not talking about one of Barack Obama's dates. We're talking about Jan Brewer sticking a finger in Barack Obama's face on the tarmac. You're looking at it right now, aren't you, Chris? That picture's out there. Well, I'm going somewhere with this. This is going to come back to Texas. Jan Brewer became a superstar briefly for the conservative movement. Why? Because no matter your position on the issues, you are instantly lofted. You're instantly held up to hero status if you ever even appear to have that us versus them, up yours, I'll stick it to the man, you don't tell me what to do attitude. That turned Jan Brewer for 5 minutes into this ultimate hero on the right. Texas, that's what Texas has. When people picture Texas, they picture all the cowboy hats and cowboys and guns and pickup trucks and big churches. And Texas has all that. All kinds of guns, churches, and pickup trucks. It has all that. The problem is Texas hasn't turned that rebellious spirit into a better Republican Party locally. But they're beginning, all right? I took way too long at that, so you don't get headlines today. You have to wait till tomorrow. That's all.
It's hard to read the news these days without asking yourself, how did we get here? Fiasco is a history podcast from the co-creators of Slow Burn. In our first season, Bush v. Gore, we examine an unmistakable turning point in American politics, the 2000 election, which resulted in a high-stakes stalemate, ended with one of the most controversial rulings in Supreme Court history. So if you're trying to make sense of the present moment, check out Fiasco, Bush v. Gore. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.